In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luis Lateau is a living wonder, because for 12 and a half years, she neither ate nor drank. She lived on communion every day, and she went 15 years without sleep at all. Other supernatural phenomena which manifested in her life were the wounds of Christ, hierognosis, or knowledge of what was blessed, as well as the discernment of authentic relics, but only while she was in ecstasy. Something that could not be explained humanly were the movements that she made during ecstasy, outside all natural law, as well as obeying the legitimate superiors and returning from ecstasy whenever they called her. Moreover, she had the gift of prophecy, of levitation, and of supernatural knowledge. Her life was offered to the Lord for the conversion of sinners, while it was a permanent offering to make amends for and repair the sins committed especially against God, the Church, and the Pope. Her supernatural phenomena were studied by an ecclesiastical commission appointed by the bishop, and by another commission of doctors from the Royal Academy of Medicine of Belgium, her homeland. All of them concluded, in majority, that these phenomena could not be explained naturally. We praise God for her life of holiness, which confirms us in the truth of our Catholic faith. Through her intercession, may God grant us to feel proud of being Catholics and to live our faith fully. Luis had offered herself to the Lord as a victim for the salvation of the world. Her life was totally for God, and she only wanted to fulfill His holy will at all times. God had chosen her to atone for the sins of the world and make amends for them, and she tried faithfully to fulfill her mission, offering her sufferings for the world, the Church, and the Pope. In 1870, the Papal States were invaded by Piedmontese troops. The Holy Father, Pope Blessed Pius IX, was forced to remain as a prisoner in the Vatican. Luis's directors observed that during the month of August, her inner sufferings increased notably in intensity and grew a lot until mid-September. On the 20th of this month, the Piedmontese troops entered Rome, and Luis's sufferings reached the maximum intensity, continuing more or less until the month of December. On the 8th, the Feast of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, her sufferings disappeared and calm came. Another significant godsidence took place in 1871 during Holy Week. They were days of true mourning for the Pope and the Eternal City. The thousands of pilgrims of other years were not present, and the invading army, which dominated the city, profaned the images and everything that was sacred. In Paris, during that Holy Week, a civil war had broken out, and many were fiercely against the Church and its ministers, profaning temples and sacred objects. Many priests and honest citizens were killed. While these tragic events were taking place in Rome and Paris during Holy Week in 1871, in Bois de Haine, Luis Lateau atoned and made amends before God for so many excesses. A priest and her director noted that she suffered a lot, and a few days later, the confirmation of the events in Rome and Paris arrived. He was convinced of the expiatory nature of Luis's intense suffering in those days. Luis Lateau was in agony, almost dying. She could barely stammer a few words. She looked like an Ecce Homo. What a difference between Rome, Paris, and Bois de Haine. In Rome and Paris, God was seriously offended, and in Bois de Haine, God was consoled and repaired. Pope Blessed Pius IX died in February 1878, and Luis Lateau believed that her reparative mission was over, thinking that she would die. The Bishop of Tournai, Monsignor Dumont, forbade her to die, which is what she asked for and wanted. The Archbishop of Mechelen, Brussels, asked the new Pope, Leo XIII, on behalf of Louise, for permission to die. But the Pope encouraged her to continue living and to pray for him, as she had done for her predecessor, Pope Blessed Pius IX. Therefore, she continued her mission to pray especially for the Church and for Pope Leo XIII. On February 23, 1878, the Virgin Mary appeared to her and encouraged her to continue serving the Church and the Pope. Louise Leto declared, "I offer my life in sacrifice for the Church." Another moment of great suffering for Louise was due to the anti-Catholic laws passed in her country against the free teaching of the Catholic religion. In 1878, the Freemasons directed the destinies of Belgium, and they considered that the education law of 1842 did not fulfill their dreams of removing Christian influence from the schools. As of 1879, the controversy began, and the Belgian bishops united against the law that they wanted to impose. The Bishop of Louise Leto, Monsignor Dumont, distinguished himself by his struggle against this law, since he himself, since 1878, had erected many free Catholic colleges and schools. Louise followed the controversy, and at each concession against the Catholic schools, she suffered in atonement. She loved Monsignor Dumont very much, because he was her bishop, and she tried to support him against all those who attacked him in the newspapers and through different media. The Belgian bishops had sounded the alarm in a pastoral letter of December 29, 1878, demanding that the law of 1842 be maintained. Monsignor Dumont gave his signature to the pastoral with reservations because he believed that the 1842 law did not sufficiently guarantee religious freedom in education. That is why Monsignor Dumont decided to secretly separate himself from his fellow bishops, wanting to withdraw his signature from the joint pastoral. Our Lord Jesus spoke to Louise and entrusted her with a message for her bishop, asking the parish priest, Father Niels, to tell him that she wanted to see him. She spoke to him on God's behalf, that she knew he wanted to separate his signature from the ministry, because it was not in accordance with the 1842 law. She told him that the Lord wanted the union of the bishops to be preserved at all costs, and for the time being, he did not remove his signature from the pastoral, since the Pope agreed with the pastoral of the bishops. But the Pope, disgusted by many unilateral actions of Bishop Dumont, in 1879 demanded his resignation, which the bishop did not accept. Again, Louise had to intervene on behalf of God to ask him to submit to the Pope's decision, but the bishop did not listen to her. The Pope appointed Monsignor du Rousseau as apostolic administrator of the diocese, who for her was the true bishop, and Monsignor Dumont was suspended from his episcopal powers in 1879. She obeyed the new bishop and prayed a lot for Monsignor Dumont, whom she had a special appreciation for, and who visited her frequently. In July 1880, Louise had to write another letter from God to tell him that he was on his way to hell if he did not accept his resignation and obey the Pope. Louise Leto intervened before the Pope and before Monsignor Dumont so that the matter would come to a good conclusion. But she could not see the success of her effort. On January 6, 1885, 2 years after her death, Monsignor Dumont finally submitted to the Pope and signed a formula of retraction and submission as required by the Roman Curia, and the Pope sent his blessing. When Monsignor Dumont submitted, all the Catholics in Belgium who suffered from this rebellion were relieved. But in all this matter, Louise Leto had much to suffer and offer to God, because the Belgian church was in disrepute and Bishop Dumont was on the way to perdition. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.